Hello. Here we are, all right, ladies and gentlemen. You're very welcome to this evening's meeting. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure that their mobile telephones either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting of this meeting will be audio recorded, except when the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure that the microphone system is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at the meeting. I would remind councillors of their obligation under the councillor's code of conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any items of business before us today. If there is any such interest, please either declare it now or immediately before that item, stating the item of business as it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in any vote. Item 1, we take apologies. No other apologies. All right. Declarations of interest. No declarations of interest. All right. We went to 3, the action sheet. Well, it's only the 2, the action sheet. Page 1. Page 2. There's 3. Page 4. Can we propose a for accuracy on that? Propose, Councillor One, and second by Councillor Burgess. Thanks for that. Item 4, and retention of disposal policy plans. Are you taking that, Dorian? Oh, Alison, you're going to take that. Hey, Alison, thanks.
Chair, the report is self-explanatory. The council has a corporate retention and disposal schedule which has been approved by the Northern Ireland Assembly. In terms of the section on planning, some work has been going on with the Department for Infrastructure's Information Management Unit and a working group of council officers across the province, and as a result of this, an amendment has been proposed to the planning section schedule. In essence, there is a requirement that planning files, the retention period will reduce from 10 years after closure or last paper to 6 years. This is a generic change across all councils, and in terms of resource implications, it will lead to a reduction in storage costs for files. And it's for approval. Thank you.
Any queries on this? We need a proposal and seconder for that. Proposed and second. All right, that takes us into item 5. And Regina, you're going to take this policy screening cooperative report.
Statutory duties and commitments. We have to publish our policy screening reports quarterly, and they're there for you to see. It covers the period October to December 2017, and they're asked to note the contents of the report.
That's just for noting. I hope they're not on that. All right, you're going to take us on, and no queries, and I can take us on into item 6.
Mr. Chairman, this relates to the Council signing up to the initiative Every Customer Counts commitment. The Quality Commission in Northern Ireland has developed this initiative, and essentially to support people, traders, to develop more accessible and to promote more accessible services. And What we're asking is, as you know, our ART director has already signed up with to ensuring that Newcastle is an office and friendly town, and we want to demonstrate our corporate commitment to ensuring that we promote accessible, encourage traders to promote accessible services, and we want to become a signatory to this initiative. And what I'm asking tonight is if we can have permission, please, to register our commitment to encourage more businesses to consider the benefits of their current accessibility scheme.
Kind of a council island.
Yeah, Chairman. As a grandparent of an autistic child, I would welcome this initiative to make Newcastle an autism friendly town. I was just wondering, maybe Regina could tell us a wee bit more, what measures would Newcastle and the traders in Newcastle be taking to promote the town as such? And when is that likely to happen, or how long will that process take?
Councillor Vaughan.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Yeah, I welcome the tip as well. But on 2.1 on the key issues, the council is going to commit to the every customer counts policy. But why are we investigating becoming a signatory? Why not commit to becoming a signatory as well? Is there a reason why we're just investigating this at that point, or that at this point?
Maybe I didn't clarify. I just asked tonight that we actually register our commitment to undertaking it in the first place, and then we need to investigate the outworkings of that. That's really what that is. That's to look at developing the outworkings of it further. And once you sign up to it, then you need to look at how you actually go through the whole process and investigate just how you deal with all of that. Yes.
Kind of a proposal and second for that? Proposal and second, Councillor Vaughan. All right. Item 7, Johnny, you're taking this stakeholder survey.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, that's better now. Chair, the purpose of this item is to seek the agreement of members to commission a number of important stakeholder surveys during the next financial year, 18-19. And really, they are required to support the development of the new corporate plan. I suppose we are officials are beginning to start that process in earnest, but also to assist with the performance management of a lot of the council's existing strategies. If you factor in, for example, we need to review the community plan every 2 years, we need to produce an annual performance improvement plan, we already, for example, have a likes of a tourism strategy, etc. And we need, suppose, to ascertain the views and opinions of affected stakeholders as to, suppose, whether we're actually meeting those requirements. What I would say, Chair, is that this council has never extensively surveyed its key stakeholders. We did some limited stakeholder surveying as part of the preparation of the existing corporate plan back in the shadow period, but it was nothing on the scale of this. What I would say, Chair, is that we're now, I suppose, in a modern era of local government where continual dialogue with important key stakeholders and actually involving, for example, the public in decision making is now expected from those key stakeholders, and I suppose this would allow us to, as I say, to do two things: to ascertain their satisfaction with existing performance levels, but secondly then to identify those emerging issues, and priorities that we need to factor into our future service planning. Chair, there's a number of expected benefits attached to this. I suppose what it would do in the first instance is establish a qualitative evidence base, as I say, around existing stakeholder satisfaction as well as identification of emerging issues and priorities. That also would enable this to assist this council in identifying specific social and geographic variations across our district. And a particular note in the quality report was on the agenda tonight. It might also allow us to do some robust analysis around our Section 75 categories, which then might assist us with being better around our quality screening in the future. What I would say as well is this evidence base could be used with other evidence sources, such as, for example, the recently published multiple measures of deprivation that essentially allow us to paint an evidence base of both qualitative and quantitative statistics that give essentially a profile of where this district sits now and, I suppose, what we need to respond to from a strategic perspective in the future. But I suppose from a cost effective perspective, it also allows us to begin to explore, for example, using e-consultation, using online platforms to better engage with local people and communities and other stakeholders, but also, for example, looking at establishing a citizens panel. But before we do that, we need to do some type of comprehensive evidence base to actually provide us with that baseline. Chair, the paper also sets out the methodology. So what we're proposing is that the three stakeholder groups be include our residents and our employee and members. Now, in terms of residents, what we're proposing is something along the lines of a number of options, a telephone, online, and written response survey. We're looking potentially at a sample size of between 700 and 800 residents to give us, I suppose, a statistically significant sample. That, for example, would consider background information, for example, where are they from in terms of the district, getting a widespread there, but also in terms of Section 75 groupings. It would allow us to identify those emerging priorities and issues that are referred to, but again, I suppose at this point in time, actually ascertain existing satisfaction with performance levels. The surveying with the members and the employees would follow a similar sort of pattern, but we propose to do that in-house in terms of online questionnaire. I think the important thing there is maintaining confidentiality, particularly from an employee perspective, as where they fit in the overall agenda and in terms of their responses. In regard to resource implications, Chair, I'm estimating the cost at between £30,000 and £40,000, but I will not know until I go out to market. I would hope I could get that cheaper. What I would say, though, is that a number of other councils have expressed an interest in joining us in a collaborative procurement exercise, so I'd be hopeful that if that was successful, we would be able to reduce the costs of the project. Overall, in terms of the quality and good relations implications, I think it will have a positive effect, simply because going out and being seen to properly engage, consult, but particularly our residents and local communities can only be seen as a good thing in terms of the reputation of this council. And then finally, what I would say, how we consult as an organisation was identified by the Northern Ireland Audit Office in its audit assessment of the council this year. So again, we'll be putting in place mitigating actions to respond to that proposal for improvement. Chair, happy to take any comments or questions, but if we could ask for members' agreement, please.
Thanks. Hi, thanks, Johnny, for that. Johnny, I know like 30,000 to 40,000, we don't know the overall cost. It is a fair bit of money to do something. I know it's not a benefit to do it, but we're not, or it's not essential that we do it. Is it possible that, you know, we have a DEA officer full time in every area, and they're working with the community groups and the residence groups, they're liaising with them. And I know liaising through the residence groups within my own area. I know, for instance, when they go around and do the 50-50s or whatever, if there's a street light or a bin not collected, that they automatically come back to you. You know, so you have a constant feedback, and you have the DEA officer linked to all of those groups, or should be linked to all of those groups, residence groups, and you have that link with the employees as well. And the fact that we have one person full time, is it possible this could be done in house? I'll take a number. Just I'll take Councillor Burns in the first, and I'll take the number of the queries if you want to.
It's along the same lines as Councillor Hurley, which is a good point, because my concern was in the 30,000 to 40,000 as well. And I suppose a number of questions, but you've comprehensively answered them in your explanation there to them anyhow. I'd be keen to see if other councils will come on board at the start. I think this is a process that should be collaborative at the very, very start, because in essence, other councils will come on board on this. It's good to get stakeholder surveys, and there's people that we can't get in contact, whether it's online surveys. I think it's a good way to go. It's good to get their opinion. I do think it should be collaborative from the start. So you're saying that you're hoping, before we sanction a spend of 30,000 to 40,000 that's there in the rates, what is the chances of getting an answer back from other councils on that, and how far would it decrease the cost? I know it's an estimation, you don't know if you go out to market, it's in and around 30,000 to 40,000, but I'd like to think that if you made contact with councils now before we strike the rate on 15th of February, this is something that should be collaborative from the start. But I do concur with Councillor Harkey's points. I think it is good to investigate what is in-house. I think it's a great idea.
All Right, Councillor Orney.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and sort of echoing some of the other points made. But just, Mr. McBride, is I heard Pastor Mark on a citizens panel within that. I didn't notice it in the notes, so I just wasn't sure if there's any more elaboration on that or anything like that. And also just to clarify, it is a requirement that this feedback must be given.
All right, Johnny.
Oh, sorry, do you want me to mention?
No, go ahead. Yeah.
I agree with some of the points that have already been made, and then I know it's only an example. You're giving us the type of survey, the Basildon one, but when you're talking about doing a telephone poll and the number of options that are available to us, are you going to be looking at having the survey varying? You know, it's okay if you're sitting on a piece of paper in front of you and looking down through and marking off the ones that you think are important, but if somebody on the telephone reading all these things off to you, you'd lose interest very quickly. So I think the questions that you're asking, formulating the questions and getting the answers right and creating the survey right is going to help getting the information that we want back. And I agree with you, we need to try to have this as wide as possible, for it can impact in so many areas that the council's interested in. Thank you.
Right. Chair. Yeah, thank you, Chair, and thanks for the presentation, Johnny. I would share some of the concerns that have been said already, at least by yourself, Chair. We're talking about 800 participants at a possible cost of 40,000. It's only 50 quid each for an opinion, but and you really got to ask yourself, is that good value? I suppose my concern would be the amount of money that we're looking at going forward for consultation. And I think at the last report, it was something in the region of 740,000 for consultation cost last year. And I really do think that we're going to have to take a look at this. And like the earlier speaker said, could this not be carried out in-house? We are constantly in contact with a number of community groups and sports groups. We have visitors coming through our leisure centres on a daily basis. And you sort of say to yourself, to contact 700 or 800 people may not be that difficult if it was spread across a few different departments within the council. It's just a thought, but I do think we're going to have to take a serious look at where we're going with going out looking for consultants all the time. We seem to be spending a serious amount of money on. Thank you. Right. Councillor Savage, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Johnny, it's just in relation to the industry sort of standards, about 1,050 of a sample. From my experience over the years, I thought 800, given the size of the district and the geographical spread, is quite small. That said, can we potentially look at, get some sort of an idea of what the cost savings would be if we did take a collaborative approach, say with another 3 or 4 council areas, because it may mean that the research team involved could be bigger and we could therefore look at a bigger sample and get a better return in relation to the number of people we reach for the cost that we're looking at. And potentially could we bring a paper back that looks at that, but also looks at what the potential feasibility is to do it internally. I think if we had that picture, we could make a decision that's in the interest. I very much agree with the need to engage with our people and get feedback, because as councillors we get it on a daily basis, but we get it from a patchwork quilt approach where we get things, different issues raised in different days, and a more structured approach that might feed into how we take an approach to the planning or a corporate plan over the next number of years. So it's really just looking to see what the potential savings are and the feasibility of it doing collaboratively, and how feasible it is to do it internally, and what the cost implications would be for that.
Sure. Kenny? Yeah?
Okay, Chair, now there were a number of comments there and questions about the cost. I suppose I just want to reiterate, I don't know the actual cost of this until I go out to market, and to be fair, that was acknowledged by some of the members. I suppose what I would say is that, yes, there may well be elements that we could do in-house. I think that the EAs were mentioned. That certainly could be used potentially to supplement the major exercise. We might also be able to look at doing the elected member and the employee surveying in-house. I think in relation to the latter one there, we just need to be mindful of confidentiality issues and particularly how we might be good to mitigate that, but I can certainly look at that. The key thing for me, though, Chair, is around the residents. I mean, this represents a significant surveying exercise, and I suppose you really do want somebody who has sufficient expertise in this area to do that. And you know what that would look like if somebody has experience of constructing the questionnaires, so we're asking the right questions and we're able to get the right responses in terms then of the right surveying methodology. So in terms of the comments made about telephone, you know what elements of that could be supplemented with, for example, face to face or focus groups, that type of thing. But also then, more importantly, carrying out the analysis, which we don't have the resource capacity to do, and doing that properly, and then being able to present this council with a report that we can actually take action coming out of. I suppose I go back to the point I made earlier at the start of the introduction of this paper. There is an expectation now amongst particularly residents that they are involved in decision making, and they are involved in decision making at an early juncture. So the purpose of this exercise would be to identify particularly, as I said, their existing satisfaction levels with the performance of the council, but more importantly, signpost this council to those issues of a strategic nature that we need to address on a district-wide basis. There were a couple of other comments about collaboration. Yes, I have already been exploring with existing councils. I have a verbal commitment from two that this is what they want to do. We'll be taking, I suppose, once I get a mandate, hopefully from the council, back to a working group of officers from across all the other councils and actually hopefully agreeing with a greater number about who actually might be on board. What I would say, in addition to potentially the cost savings, you're actually then inviting performance comparisons across a number of councils, so it makes the findings much more robust and allows us as a council to compare maybe what the emerging issues are with those in other districts. And again, that actually might then, in turn, inform what we potentially need to do in the future. Sure, there was a question around a citizen panel. No, it was not included in the paper. But in terms of what we potentially could do in the future, is establish a citizen panel, which is representative of the groups across our district, which would allow us to continually engage with them, such as around issues about future surveying and issues that we need to consult with them about. I suppose in order to identify what that looks like, we need this initial baseline exercise completed, and that's again what I propose to do. But there are benefits in doing that that would allow us to do things maybe cheaper and more effective in the future if you also factor in doing things online, such as e-consultation, which we don't currently do. There was a question, sir, also about a statutory requirement. No, it is not a statutory requirement, but if you look at best practice across the public sector and indeed in other local authorities and other jurisdictions, this is what they do. Recently, I went down to Fingal Council in just out north Dublin, and they have an e-consultation portal, and you know they are light years, I suppose, Chair, compared to where we are in terms of how they engage and interact with local communities in respect of identifying the issues that are important to people and then actually then using that information to put in place interventions. Hopefully I covered the issue, Chair, around the surveying approach and the sample size, Chair. Yeah, we can look at increasing the sample size. Maybe there will be scale to be achieved through collaboration. But I suppose if we do increase it significantly by ourselves, it might then increase the cost of that balance in that.
So the way forward is you're going to liaise with the other councils, are you, to see, well, can we do this?
I suppose, Chair, if members still have concerns about the cost, I mean, what I'm sensing is you still want me to go back and identify which councils are going on board, but
yeah.
I suppose I need a mandate from yourselves that you are agreeing potentially in principle to do this subject as opposed to trying to identify if we can reduce the cost of doing it. I can then bring back a paper to the next committee and hopefully so we can get agreement on the way forward.
Happy enough with that? All right. You want to propose and second for that? Yeah. Propose and second, yeah. All right. You're also going to need any community planning. Huh? It's only for noting.
Yeah, it's just for own chair, if members have any specific questions or comments about it.
All right. Can you there any queries, Councillor Vaughan?
Yeah, just a brief question. Some of the areas that you're going to look at, consider, I know there's a meeting now at the end of the month. With this group sitting again at the end of the month, one of the main problems of the DES structures is speeding up. and feeding into thematic groups. And we've found, I sit in the health and wellbeing thematic group, it sits in Bagnall's Castle, and you find yourself repeating the same things that you've said at the DES structures for feeding off. And I know it's one of the things that you're going to look at. Do you envisage coming back with some sort of a mechanism at the next meeting, or is that still ongoing? Because it is a major problem with the DES, and probably why people are losing faith with the DES, because if you feed information into it, and other people that's not elected members, and it's sort of getting lost, I think it's one of the main things that needs to be sorted out, that it can be fed up into the thematic groups, and then we get some sort of a process where it comes back down the line with an answer. Has that mechanism been developed? Where are we in the development? Are we getting an update at the end of the month? And how long do you envisage before we get something like that?
Okay, Chair. In terms of answering those questions, it is currently being developed, and it's been developed with Janine Hill in the AHC committee, because she is operationally responsible for the DAs. Once finalised, it will be taken through the AHC committee. So I can't give you a timeline when that will happen, but hopefully sooner rather than later. Yeah, I do accept your comments in respect of the thematic working groups, and I suppose as a general observation, we are having some problems in terms of their performance, but we're not alone as a community planning partnership in this regard, and it's simply because the partners are struggling at times to send the right people who are able to take decisions. So I do share the members' frustrations about that, but it is something that I propose that we probably look at reviewing the scope of those thematic working groups and can we do things better in the not-too-distant future. But that's something that I want to source in the first instance with the party groupings before maybe bring anything into to this forum.
All right, thank you for that. Johnny, you're also taking item 9, proposal for public information events on the measure of multiple deprivation.
Yes, sir, that's correct. Really, I'm seeking the agreement of members to organise a series of public information events across the district and related to the information that's recently been published in respect of our district. Some of the members may already be aware that NISRA has recently updated and published the measures of multiple deprivation, and they are statistically and strategically very significant for this district. Why? Because I suppose it begins to help inform the future planning of public services, but also if you think about future business case construction and applications that this council and indeed others might put in for funding for this district, this essentially provides you with the evidence base. The proposal of the chair is to invite NISRA to host a district-wide event at a suitable venue in Newry City, and I suppose that would act as the main event for the district, and would seek to invite members of the public, community planning partners, representatives of the community voluntary sector, clearly also elected reps, really, and that would then provide an information session about the updated measures, but also an analysis at a district-wide level in respect of Newry Morning Down. But in support of that, we're also proposing that council officials organise a series of information events in each DEA, where I suppose we'll be able to then analyse that data at a DEA level and then have a similar type of information event with the public interested parties at that DEA level. What I would say, sure, there's also a number of additional briefings. We're planning on giving one to our community planning partners at its next board meeting on the 30th of January. And indeed, I'm also going to bring back a briefing specifically for elected members at the full council meeting on the 26th of February. So unless members have any comments or queries, if we can maybe ask for members' agreement on that, please.
All right, Councillor Enright.
Yeah, will we be giving any feedback to NISRA ourselves on these figures? And particularly thinking about how in the past, at least in previous editions of their statistics, we have found a lack of resolution at a lower level. Where, say, for instance, they're combined in, for instance, the village of Ballyhornan with Caliph and Strangford, and therefore the situation in Ballyhornan or in Caliph would have been massaged upwards by the inclusion of a higher income area. A similar sort of thing would be, say, in Downpatrick, where Ballymoat would be smothered by nearby areas. So if they took it down to a lower level, village by village, it's much easier for us to bring forward proposals based on real evidence.
All right, Councillor Savage.
Yeah, Chair. This information, from what I can gather, is much more detailed and much more reflective, I think, of the reality on the ground. I think NISRA have made changes that I think are very important in relation to being able to feed into how we plan for the future needs. The big issue that we have, given the wards that I represent in Newry, is the increase in the social deprivation and how we really need to tackle it. And the one way to tackle it is to raise the living standards of our people through job creation. And I think we have a lot of synergies to create with the SERC in relation to the huge number of apprenticeship opportunities that are out there at the minute. and about making sure that we have a job creation strategy here that lifts all our people and all the wards across Newry and across the district. And I think it's very important that we get a very quick handle on what the implications for these statistics are. We have seen some of our areas in Newry go down considerably in the pecking order, and we have seen a huge increase in some areas in South Armagh as well. So it's very important that whatever we do, we take this information on board and we make sure that we deploy that information in a meaningful way to develop a strategy that tackles head, not only just the social deprivation, but the access to services right across the district. And I think it's a very important exercise that we roll this out and meet as many stakeholders in the district, decision makers in the district, and each of the DEAs come together and we get some degree of joined up thinking of how we tackle what is the scourge in our district, which is poverty. And I see it every day of the week, and we need to tackle it, and we need to come up with a strategy that gives some degree of hope to our people in areas with high levels of deprivation. Sure.
I've looked at the sort of deprivation map, and it's all encompassing. There's lots of different indicators. It's actually refreshing to see how highly Castle Welland scored, and because of leisure, you know, natural leisure and natural environment. But I was just wondering, is there any experience in how this is approached? And what I'm sort of getting at is, obviously, there's some areas that will go down, some areas will go up, but without wanting to slip into some sort of Trumpian diplomacy and how we reference these areas, and that's just, I'm just wondering what the experience is in addressing this, and how, on behalf of the council and on behalf of NISRA as well, thank you.
All right, Johnny.
Thank you, Chair. A couple of questions there. In terms of actually challenging the NISRA data, I think there is an opportunity to do that. And I suppose I would say that's the reason of bringing a briefing to members on the 26th of February. We could look, if members want, maybe inviting representatives of NISRA down to that. So I suppose members can have a discussion or a challenge or whatever you want to describe it in terms of some of the issues that were picked up. In terms then of the DEAs and the data and I suppose the issues that need to be picked up, I suppose the whole purpose of these public information events, Chair, is to expose as many people as possible to what the data is telling us, and I suppose where we now sit as an as a district, in relation to these categories of deprivation. I think we need to be exercising as many people as possible, so that's why we're proposing to do something at a district-wide level, but then doing something at each DEA level. And then, Chair, the final question, I think that's, again, is an opportunity, I think, on the 26th of February to get into the detail. We don't want to spoil the fun of that session.
Thank you. You want to pause around a second after that? Thank you. All right. Item 10, Lindsay, you're going to take that one. It's a request by NI Water for council land at Dundrum to facilitate a new water pumping station. So,
thank you, Chair. Yes, item 10 in front of you. It is a report in relation to a request from NI Water for land in Dundrum to facilitate a new wastewater pumping station. The report itself is sufficiently detailed, so I'll just give you a brief synopsis. The council owned land on Main Street in Dundrum. It's currently used as a car park. NI Water's proposal is that they would purchase from the council that car park, put a wastewater pumping station subterraneally into it, and then lease it back to the council for a nominal fee. There are pictures available at page 44 of your agenda to show a similar scheme at Victoria Market. So in those pictures you will see that the works themselves are substantial. The car park is likely to be unavailable for parking, at least two-thirds of it, for 6 to 9 months. But following the works, it would be successfully used as a car park again with the same number of spaces. The only infrastructure you'll actually see above ground is a small kiosk. On page 44, the photos available there, the kiosk is the red curved building with the black roof. On page 41, the map shows what the kiosk would actually be like on this site. It's the very small black area within the red boundary. The recommendation in front of you is subject to some conditions. So the recommendation is that the council agrees to sell to NI Water the land identified, and following construction works, leases the same plot back from NI Water, subject to the following conditions. that the council receives agreement from previous funders of the site, Tourism NI and the Rural Development Programme. There's further information available on that point at 2.5 within the report. It's subject to evaluation by LPS. It's subject to completion of legal formalities, which would be standard. It's subject to NI Water being responsible for the council's legal and valuation costs, which would be standard as they've made the approach to the council and will benefit from the transaction. It's also subject to the lease being offered at nominal value and on agreeable terms to the council, and that's potentially the most important one. NI Water are asking from the land for council at a nominal fee, and in return we're getting a long-term lease for a nominal fee. That only represents best value for the council if the lease is sufficiently long enough, and LPS will only sanction the transaction if that's also the case. My suggestion would also be to put in there a buyback option. It means that within the lease term, the council would get first refusal on the land if NI Water were ever to offer it up for sale, and that would be at nominal consideration also. So the final point there is left sufficiently open to ensure the council can negotiate favourable terms within the lease that both meet the requirements of LPS in order to sanction a transaction, but that also represents best value for the council. In considering the recommendation, I'm happy to consider any comments or questions the members may have.
Go ahead, Councillor.
Yeah, thank you. Firstly, I suppose I would welcome the commitment from NI Water to eventually sort out the problems in Dundrum with regard to the wastewater. But a couple of issues that I have with it, firstly, do we need to actually sell or transfer the piece of ground to Water Service? Can they not just lease it of us and allow the council to retain control on it? And if there is a need for the actual transfer to take place and NI Water to have control of it, I think the extent that the lease should allow for an extension of the lease at a nominal value. 25 years is a short time, and to ensure that when the car park is returned to us, that is returned in a new state as such. So it's a couple of queries I have, but in general, I welcome it. Thank you.
Councillor Carr.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think my question was more or less along the same lines. Why don't we just lease it in the first instance to Northern Ireland Water, instead of getting into a very complicated legal process of selling it and leasing it back? And you just feel that somewhere along the way the council will lose out. There is an example in Moran Point, in Neary Street, Moran Point, where the council, I think, had the ownership and still retains the ownership, and the project was carried out with great cooperation across everybody. But as I understand it, the ownership of the car park is still with the council. So I'm just wondering why we're going through this convoluted process to allow them in there. Let's us create the lease to them for the underground part of that part of the car park.
Hi, Lindsay.
Thank you, Chair. Happy to answer the questions. They're actually as anticipated. So both of you have asked why would we sell it. Given the £5.5 million investment NI Water are making, they want absolute security that should they need to enter the land for repairs or any upgrade to the infrastructure, they ultimately have control of it. The investment they're making is so significant that would be standard. There are three similar projects in the Ards and North Down area, and the process has been identical. They've purchased from the council and leased back. Albeit you will note the 25-year figure within my report. Since the time of writing that report, I've had additional negotiations with NI Water. They're now prepared to offer a minimum of 99 years and potentially longer. So that's the reason for the final bullet point there at the recommendation, that it's left open enough that we will be given security that the lease will be long enough to ensure that it's still good value for the council, given the nominal transaction on both sides. NI Water aren't prepared to consider a lease option right now, given the significant investment they're making. They want ultimate control of the land with a lease back.
Okay. Well, we have a proposal and a second for this, Michael. It has been proposed and second.
Chair, I'm not voting against it, but there was more of an investment in Warren Point. Why do we have these? The Warren Point system seems to work very well. NIE were NI water will never stop going in. They do it quite regular, close off the car park and so on. I just, it's the complication of the process, Chair, that bothers me. If it can be done, why not take the easy way now and again, just once or twice? I'm not opposing or voting against what has been proposed, but I do wonder how we get into it. And I can see Northern Ireland Water saying, no, we want total control, absolutely. But they have that in one point, even though we still are in ownership.
Do you want to lay off on that, Lindsay? Lindsay, we have proposed on sacking my father, I knew so what. Yeah? Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Enough, yeah. Thank you, Chair. If you were to explore that option, for example, of us just to lease to them, the legal process could actually be more complicated. What you would do is a licence for work through the works period and then a lease for occupation. The lease for occupation is likely to be significantly lengthy given the amount of infrastructure on site. I take on board your points entirely. I do. I would say that if it's about the convoluted legal process, the option in front of you might actually find is significantly streamlined compared to a lease and a licence for work. And we always do have that option of, you know, if there's any issue down the line, once the works are completed, we'll do an inspection of the car park beforehand, we'll do an inspection of the car park afterwards, and we'll ensure that it's brought to a relevant standard.
Right. We have a proposal and a second for that, so we're on to her.
Who seconded? Sorry, Chair, I didn't see the seconder.
Councillor Carr
second it?
No. So, Councillor Morley, you proposed this.
Can we just clarify that it was the proposal really for the 99 years then?
Yes. Yeah. It is 99 years, yeah. Right, we have.
Councillor McMurray.
All right. Item 11, Doreen, and you're taking that. It's a NILGA subscription.
Yes, Chair, thank you. Members, we've included in your papers tonight a correspondence received from NILGA, which is their summary work plan for 18-19 a year together with the associated investment subscription. You'll see that it goes through in detail the work plan as proposed. I don't propose to go through it in any detail. I know quite a number of our councillors are involved directly with NILGA, and they're listed out on that front cover page. I'll just draw your attention then just to the annual subscription, which is, you'll see that NILGA have advised that it's remaining at the same rate as the 17-18 year. So we pay NILGA an annual subscription of just shy of £49,000, so that's on page 55 of your papers. So it's included within your pack tonight for noting.
All right, do you want to hear that, Councillor Hyland?
Just one question for Dorina. Talk about the composition of it. I'm sure the eight councillors mentioned are doing a fine job on NILGA. Three of them are Sinn Féin, three SDLP, one DUP and one UUP. Any reason why there are no independent alliance reps on the body?
Right, item 12 is during the article last day.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Members, I'm sure you've heard in the press the Department of Finance, given the position that we're in with the executive, have taken the unusual step this year of publishing a budgetary outlook briefing, and they're asking for responses to that. It's had a lot of press, so I'm sure you've all heard a number of the key things included. What you've got in your papers tonight, NILGA, at the request of SOLAS, are going to do a composite response to this, really looking at how some of the proposals in that outlook briefing will affect the local councils. Included in your pack tonight then is what NILGA themselves have said really is a first draft of their response. the Association of Local Government Finance Officers. We are reviewing this paper currently, and we now have a period of time where we can add anything further to this response. One of the things that we've agreed to add is a breakdown of the impact of the proposed cut to the rate support grant has to each council to actually spell that out. We've calculated that and we'll include that as an appendix to this response. So there are, in my own view, this it's very well written. There are a number of really important points in there around rural proofing, around rate support grant, around the potential impact to a number of centrally governmentally funded council programmes. So really, to say to you tonight, I would encourage you all to have a read through it. If any member has any suggestions, anything in particular that they wish us to consider including within that, happy for you to contact me directly on that. You'll see there's a date of the 26th of January in that paper. There's been some criticism as to how tight this time period has been, given the Christmas period. And Department of Finance they're happy to get a slightly later response from us on this, but you'll also see that there's a meeting with the Permanent Secretary on the 9th of February, so we're very keen to get a response back in that early February period. Timing isn't great for councils, given that we all strike our rate and sign up to an amount very soon. So all that's in the paper, it's been acknowledged, but happy to take any comments and either tonight or at a later date once you've had a chance to digest it further.
Councillor Bourne.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I think it's a very good response. A number of points that you picked up on the rate support grant. You'll have no idea before we strike the rate about the cut on the rate support grant. You're talking about the date there on the 15th of February it has to be stuck by, because it could be one of the major factors in striking the rate. I'm extremely concerned, and I agree with the response from Nelga about no commitment to undertake rural proofing. I think it's at best idiotic. You know, when the Rural Proofing Needs or Rural Needs Act came in 2016, that's the whole point of it. And if you're looking at the cuts to DEIR, the cuts to the Department of Infrastructure, if we're believing what we read about, you know, only going to maintain motorways, dual carriageways, main roads, and it's the county roads in and around South Armagh that are going to be left in the state that they are because of budgetary cuts, I can't understand why they will not commit to undertake a rural needs impact assessment. I think we should be extremely heavy-handed with that and demanding that it does take place. I think it's one of the main points, especially for people that I represent. But I think the response is comprehensive and quite strong, and it goes to show why on the previous item and the £50,000 spent is money well spent when you get responses like this. But yeah, just on the rural person, I'd like that to be worded a lot more strongly.
I think as well.
Any other councillors want to come in on this for Harry?
It's just really to comment, I think, on that very point. One of the thing, you know, one of my own thoughts on it is as well the additional impact of Brexit and those two departments, because they do get an awful lot of European funding as well. So you could have an additionality impact, which affects the rural communities, with the two things combined. So certainly we'll feed on board, but I'd say happy for anyone to contact me individually or as a party on that if you do wish to feed into it further. Thank you.
All right, just Chair, can I make a brief sentence just on that point as well, just what the Director said? I know if we're reading through this that it's the poorest people that will be hit, and we can talk about this all day long. It's the poorest communities that will be hit. And especially in this council, I know there's 7 of the 11 councils with the rate support grant, we're going to be hit with that again. And then again on the rural communities. So we've been hit three times, and that's why it's really important that the rural proofing is carried out. Thanks, Chair.
Right, turning to item 13, the leasing of office accommodation in the Downshire City Centre. Have you heard anything on this point? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I don't propose to rehearse the report, it's short and sweet. Authorities sought to enter into a 3-year lease for office accommodation in the ground floor of this building to the Probation Board for 3 years at a yearly rental determined by LPS at £3,250 per annum. Thank you.
and do we want to propose on that?
Chair, just a quick question. Where bikes within the facility are these going to be hosted at to be sure services? Where bikes in the building?
Chairman, if you come into reception area and turn right and right again towards the housing executive, there will be office accommodation at that block, and we'll make use of the T-point opposite. And there will book rooms within the building as fisheries currently do, or the fire service, so it will be a comparable arrangement with the
And we don't charge for the use of hiring of any of our meeting rooms or not, and that's just as a part of the agreement of the lease.
It will be part of the overall agreement of the lease, yeah.
Happy to propose, Chair.
Councillor Walker proposed, so you can second that. Councillor.
I do, if we go any further, where are they going to park? If there's many people coming here now, because at the moment they can't get parked out there.
Chairman, I understand that it will only be 3 to 4 members of staff and their clients, so that will be, they will not be given designated parking. They will be assumed within the overall complement of parking to this building. I would point out that there is ordinarily parking to the rear of the building. It's just the preference, obviously, is to come to the front, but there usually is surplus parking to the rear of the building.
No, Chair, it's just that I noticed there lately, over the last 2 or 3 days I've been about, and I've noticed people trying to come in there with prams and stuff to maybe get the babies registered, and they're parking away down at the road, because there's no parking space. Is there no way that we could take that green area over and make it into a car parking space? Because we have all that green area out there. We used to have a tarmac pathway along there that could come around to another piece of land there. But that has been all greened over. I think we need to re-look at this park, because it is congested.
All right, you have a proposal and a second for that, so we will take a note of that.
Chair, before you move on, will somebody take a look at this parking? Or is it serious out there during the day?
Chairman,
I did. Yeah. We understood that we're going to be the park.
Yeah. But when you park at the back, I always park at the back of the building, there's always.
No, but there's people coming here. There's some people coming. They're parking way
down the park. Yeah, but if councillors and staff and all use the park, then they have a lead park in front of them.
You're hitting me on the head.
Correspondences to staff, reminding them of that, and we'll issue another one on the back of the discussion tonight.
All right, I'll see your thoughts from there. All right, we're into the restricted items. This item is deemed to be accepted on the paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act in 2014, information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including council holding that information, and the public may be by resolution excluded during this item of business. So we want to propose in a second or to go into committees, right?
Yes.
Yep. So propose, all right. So that,
On item 14, A1B Shelter Club Newry, compensation assessed by LPS, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Dolan, seconded by Councillor Ryan, to note the contents of the officer's report and accept the compensation figure assessed by the council's valuer as outlined in paragraph 3 of the officer's report, plus interest and legal costs, and proceed to complete legal formalities. Item 15, adverse possession claim, Clonallan Park, Warren Point, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Ryan, seconded by Councillor Dolan, note the contents of the officer's report and accept the offer as detailed in paragraph 3 of the officer's report, respect to disputed lands at Clonallan Park, Warren Point, subject to the purchaser covering council's legal costs and registration costs for the conveyance, agreement of the council's valuer to the terms, and completion of all necessary formalities. Items 16, 17, 18, and 19, action sheets of efficiency working group meetings of 29th September, 25th October, 15th November and 18th December 2017, agreed to note the contents of the action sheets of the efficiencies working group meetings of those dates. Item 20, noted that the action sheet of the strategic projects working group meeting of the 12th December 2017 would be tabled at SPR committee meeting in February.
All right, thanks for that.
So again, just by the chairman to note then that the chief executive advised council on his proposals for covering in relation to the a director for neighbourhood services in the interim period prior to making a permanent appointment.
All right, we have that. All right, thank you, everyone. Stay at home.